It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Time now for Fitzy and Mego with Nick Fitzy Stevens and Megan Ottolini on WEEI.
Like to watch? Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
The Fitzy and Mego rejoin, or intro, if you will. Like good old Ben Kenobi said, there's a name I have not heard in some time. How about that?
Is it 2021? What's going on, Fitzy?
Meg, are we coming out of a global pandemic and it was you and I who tried to help heal the world one Saturday full of sports takes at a time?
I think so. I think we're back there.
I'm thinking we're back.
Patriots, it is a pandemic, I'll tell you that.
It's a fandemic at this point, Joe. You're welcome, everybody. You know how much I love me a good pun and portmanteau. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the WEEI. We're calling it the WEEI evening program.
Yeah.
We have WEEI afternoons. I feel like that's a little more refined and elegant, Mego. Like,
it's simple. It's straightforward. Mm-hmm. It tells the people what they're going to get. It's an evening show on WEEI.
That's exactly.
There's no other promises.
No, we make no further promises whatsoever. What you can expect, lots of good sports talk, witty banter and engagement, snacks and alcoholic beverages will probably factor into the discussion, even though we're only here with you for 90 minutes and so much more. You guys know how to get in touch with us. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. The text line, as monitored by the fabulous and talented Mr. Joe Braverman, producer extraordinaire on the ones and twos behind the glass. Good evening, Joe.
Good evening, Fitzy. Good evening, Mego. This is uncharted territory because he was here. You guys had this show before I was even here. So this is my first experience with Fitzy and Mego.
You make it sound like that was like 10 years ago, Joe. You know, like we're talking like 2.5 years ago.
I know. I take a point of pride in everything Mego has done over the last couple of years, like getting to be the first radio partner of hers here at the radio station.
Pride or blame?
Both.
Okay. Responsibility.
That's my favorite Jane Austen novel, Pride and Blame. So you know how to get in touch with us. 37937 is the text line. She is at Megan_Ottolini, and I am, of course, at FitzyGFY. And we are here on at WEEI. And unfortunately, we can't do something crazy out of the box. We can't do something unexpected. We have to begin where everyone else has begun. And it's not that we're trying to cover the same ground or retread on the same topics and issues. But to me, I cannot get over at this point, just four games into the season. I guess it's technically the quarter mark of the season, you know, 4 out of 17 games, what have you. The first month is done, Mego. And that was
thank God.
And all I can say is thank God. All I can say is PTL and hallelujah. Because I say that because at least the first month is done. That opening gauntlet where people thought the best the Pats could possibly do would be 1-3. 2-2, though, quickly became a pipe dream after the Patriots surprisingly won their first game against the Cincinnati Bengals on the road and played a veritably mistake-free football game. And then somewhere along the way, in their only home game on the season thus far, they ran out of gas and haven't been able to find the accelerator, the clutch, the gas tank, or anything to make the car go, let alone to make the drive interesting since then. And so before we get into, if you believe anything you're hearing from Coach Gerard Mayo, if we dabble in more of the who's really making the call behind why Drake May won't play, I just need to ask you the same question I asked yesterday on the Six Rings postgame show with Andy. I want to ask you, and then just put it out to the audience at large. How the hell are the Patriots going to become fun again? This has been since the Cincinnati game. I mean this honestly. If they're going to sit Drake May the rest of the season, it can't be just as easy as put the kid in, Fitz. That'll fix everything. This has been a joyless slog for the better part of the last two and a quarter, two and a half games. This feels perfunctory. This feels clinical. This feels like something we are doing because we have to. I have missed but a few Patriots games over the last 30 years, long before it became an occupation. I just don't, I don't see right now, as currently constituted, how this is going to be fun for people. Fun for people to talk about and prepare for all week. Fun for people to fight all the traffic, spend all that money and go to the stadium. And fun for building a Sunday fun day around. It is a miserable experience right now. And save again for playing the kid. I don't know how you put a quick fix to this.
So, Fitzy, I feel like what people are really missing from the entire experience of watching this Patriots team, and touchdowns, honestly, last year's too, it's just explosive plays. It's explosive plays. And it, now at this point, it feels a little worse because it's on either side of the ball. There's no hope for an explosive play on offense. The closest you got yesterday was Jalen Polk insisting that he had a catch, you know, and it not counting. And so it's very frustrating to watch. Even the Patriots run this nifty little trick play with DeMario Douglas. And then they have, you know, what I thought was a ticky-tack call, but whatever. It was a penalty, and it gets called back. You watch this offense, nobody believes that Tyquan Thornton is going to do anything deep. Nobody believes that Jacoby Brissett even has the wherewithal to find Tyquan Thornton or Jalen Polk or whoever else might be a deep threat, even though they're not even exactly really a deep threat. And then you look at the other side of the ball, and there was a time a couple years ago when you'd have corners who could at least supply you or safeties with a pick six or just an exciting ball hawk. You had a couple of those. And I'm not saying that. I've been very impressed with Gonzalez. I think he's been a bright spot of this team. And Jabril Peppers is maybe one of the only players that I think really jumps off the screen. I tweeted yesterday, I can tell a Jabril Peppers hit before I even see who it is. See
the
Guardian cap.
Don't even have to tell me who it was. Yeah.
Don't even have to see the Guardian cap or the number. I just can tell. Like, I can hear it through my screen if I'm not at the stadium. I'm like, oh, it's Jabril, because it jumps off the screen. There's just not that many personnel or scheme for this team, and it's a really boring product. It's really frustrating. You listen to the broadcasters yesterday, and they're like, Olsen's back, practically like, there they go, inching down the field. It's like, yeah, it's so boring. It's mind-numbing. And I don't know if that changes with Drake May in there, but I understand why people turn it off after two quarters, because they go, even if there's like some hope at coming back, what does a comeback feel like when you're basically have a 6.5-minute drive that's like, you know, 5 yards by 5 yards? It's awful to watch.
It is. It's grueling. It really is. And you're right. And we, I believe, discussed this previously as well. You know, the Andy and I have chopped this up too a little bit on the Six Rings podcast. Why people are freaking out about Christian Gonzalez and his coverage numbers, and why is there such a rush to make Christian Gonzalez the next star on the New England Patriots, the biggest star in all Boston sports? It's because there is a dearth and deficit of star power on this team right now. There is no celebrity. There is no real person. The personality of the team is the lack of, the identity of the team, I should say, is the lack of personality. There is, like, they're gritty, sure. At week one, we thought it was going to turn into the Take 'Em to the Hill gang, where every week they just started a bar fight, and they hope to finish as the one who, you know, threw the money down in the bar and said, pay his check too, and walked out limping and bloody. But hey, you know what? It would have been a fun watch. Now, they're just getting steamrolled by superior teams. They're giving up chunk yardage and big plays, and we'll get into the Patriots defense and the issues they're having coming up later on this hour. They're making, like, watching them try to score is just like watching a bird build a nest in real time. they get it one twig, they fly it up over the floodlights, and they sit there and they put it there for a while, and you're like, all right, good buddy, there's some more. Take your, oh, you want to take your time and admire the beauty of that one stick you laid across my floodlights? Cool. It's awful. It was legitimately awful. Like, the fact that people freaked out. Oh, just see that. Pop Douglas, he turned around. Last time a Patriots player turned around involving Ramondre Stevenson and threw the ball backwards, it ruined my wife's birthday, and Mac Jones got face planted into the field at Allegiant Stadium.
And don't forget, Jacoby Myers was persona non grata forever in Foxborough after that.
Yeah, I know. Thank God we don't have guys like that.
No.
There's no deep threat, there's no lateral threat. Ramont, your running back, who is the entirety of your offense, now has a significant case of the fumbleitis. Hunter Henry, he's a nice piece. Austin Hooper, whoopee, got a touchdown yesterday. But a Jacoby Brissett pass looks like it is the labor to throw that it is the labor to watch right now. And again, until you put Drake May into these games, and I wonder where, I know the Patriots listen to both radio stations, they watch television, they read all the clippings, they know there is media unrest. They don't really care about that. The unfavorable coverage, okay. It's probably earned at this point. Even Mayo sounded a little defeated and depressed today. But they've got to know pretty soon, if this keeps up, the Boo Birds, the We Want May chants are going to start, and then they're going to see it where it counts the most. Empty red seats and half-filled 300s halfway through the stadium, Mego, because this is a long continuation. It's not just the battle to find a left tackle. This is now an extended continuation of fan unrest and disappointment with a team that continues to be offensively dysfunctional.
It definitely is, and I know everybody is focused on Drake May, and we'll get into when we think he should play and when he probably is going to play and how that's going to happen and if it's going to look different. But here's the thing is, like, it's not just about the quarterback and it's not just about the offensive line and what they're unable to do. I don't like this offense. I think the scheme is really boring. And I think that Alex Van Pelt is a really great guy, and I know that he was extremely...
We're already great guying him, and it's not even October?
Boring.
I think he's very qualified, and I know that he was... People out in Cleveland who I've spoken to think he was kind of scapegoated in the situation out there. So
yes.
It's not him. But I watch that line, and I go, when they go up to the line of scrimmage, sometimes I'm like, oh, holy hell, Hunter Henry's in motion? Because you're, like, so unused to seeing it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it's so cut and dry. Maybe it's only what they can do behind that offensive line right now, but it's so predictable that that's the other side of it. It's not just that
it's like dinner at the hearth and kettle.
Yes.
It's like, oh, there's your potatoes, here's your meat, and here's your boiled vegetable.
And it's like if DeMario Douglas goes into motion, they're like, why is she putting so much salt on it? You know, it's just like, it's too exotic.
Did that little harlot ask for gravy and extra butter?
It's rough. So I know people look at it and they go, oh, it's just Drake May. Oh, it's just the left tackle. It's a combination of all these things. It's also an offense that, I'm sorry, we'll get to this, when you're watching somebody like Cliff Kingsbury and what he's able to call with not a great offensive line, you do look at the setup and you go, is there anything else in that playbook? Can you dig a little deeper? Can you add a little bit? What's going on here?
It's the three. It's like it's like a dance academy with the 3-5-7 drops. Everything is like 1-2-3, 2-2-3. Here we go, folks. And turn the lady round. And it's just all of this very traditional old football stuff, which is great if you've got a laser rocket arm quarterback and you've got big possession receivers and you've got deep threat guys that can stretch the field on occasion and you've got tackles. Oh, I don't know. Maybe if you have offensive line health and continuity, let alone big speedy maulers that can move as well forward as they can laterally, that can clear the spaces for your running backs who can actually hold the ball. Like, it is now with, like, I've written about this on the Sunday 7 on WEA.com a couple times now. One of the big risk factors that the Patriots carry team-wide, let alone offensively now, is in addition to fan disinterest, people tuning out, and the outrage that people are going to start displaying and showcasing by not attending or not paying attention, the Patriots are also going to continue to cycle through players. And it's not just going to be because the Matt Judons of the world beg to get sent somewhere else so they can get paid to play in a relevant market on a team with a future, or an immediate future, I should say. You're going to just, your offense is going to be 3 and out, 4 and out, 5 and out. God forbid, yesterday, two first downs on an opening drive in this economy. What a time to be alive, Mego. But the longer the defense has to stay on the field, the greater the risk for the God shows and the Equales, who are already being stretched too thin because there's no Christian Barmore. Nobody could control that. There is no Bentley. Taki Taki's not back, so that means there's no one to spell Tavani. Tavai. And your cornerbacks, you don't have a great third or fourth cornerback, which means fourth. I think Marcus Jones is playing well. But John Jones is going to get injured. It's going to happen. Christian Gonzalez has already made the injury report. Jabril Peppers gets into a train wreck in every single play. They don't have a free safety. They got two strong safeties. Duggar got hurt yesterday. This team is at risk of basically playing UFL players by the 9th or 10th game because they're going to get half the starters killed. And it's also going to be unwatchable.
Fitzy, it's true. I know it's probably been said 1,000 times already today on the airwaves, but cycling through your fourth left tackle in as many weeks is very unusual. It kind of reminds me, in some ways, the way that the Red Sox have been the last two seasons, where it's like, oh, we're snake bitten, all these injuries. Who could have seen this coming? And it's like, yes, but you know what? It's pretty different when your depth is so thin to begin with. And it's tough when you're sitting in a position where you're going into week 5 and you're already saying like, well, we lost one captain in Bentley, so we named Duggar the second captain to take his place there on defense, and then Duggar's immediately off. Is this going to be something where they have to name a new captain like every 2 weeks because these guys are getting carted off the field? Like, heaven forbid.
The understudy of the understudy of the understudy.
It's rough.
Really? No, it's the swing who covers the understudy who's also the backup. It's mind-numbing. And if I'm a defensive coordinator, if I am a defensive line coach, secondary coach, if I play defense for another team, this is the last thing I'm worried about. And I know Phil Perry has expounded on this, speaking to defensive coordinators around the league. There's no one that anyone has to worry about. There's absolutely no one to worry about. They continue to not display a deep threat. There's nobody who stretches the field. There's no one who keeps coordinators and players up at night. All you've got to do is tighten the constraints just a little bit on this little dink and dunk offense and wait for Ramondre to run into a pile of humanity. And then the ball will be yours again in 2 minutes time. And even if you don't play a very good game, San Francisco was far from excellent. They weren't even humming it close to what is an
optimal rate. Even healthy defensively. They didn't have Hargrave out there.
No, he won't be out for he'll be gone for the rest of the season. And Fred Warner's a freak of nature. They even have a suspect besides Charvarius Ward. They didn't have their best safety. I think Wafangu, he wasn't in yesterday. So therefore you could have exposed them, but you can't. Because you can't give your quarterback enough time to not be, tossed off a cliff like Wile E. Coyote. It's awful. Anyway, we're not trying to, bring everybody down before a chance to watch two fun Monday Night Football games. Actually, watch fun football, crack a Frosty, and relax, folks. But this is the reality, and we just want to try to get to the heart of what the problems are, where they are, and how we think we could possibly fix it. I see the lines are just about jam-packed with people offering solutions and suggestions. We will be here for all of you at 617-779-7937. It is an absolutely positive delight to be back on the air with Mego here on WEEI. And as always, it is a delight for all of us to catch trending sports news from Joe Braverman.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
We sat in here and said during training camp, like, Drake's getting better, Drake's getting better, Drake's getting better. And then Jacoby's out there and it's like, well, why isn't Drake playing? Like, he's getting better. We have a plan. We're going to stick to it. Even though you guys said, and once again, I'm not saying you guys.
No, it's fine.
You said
he outplayed Jacoby Brissett.
By the end of training camp, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so by the end of training camp. And so, yeah, I understand what people saw there. But from, I would say from my perspective, look, he did outperform Jacoby by the time we got to the end of camp. What we had to do was go into the regular season knowing that, look, who gives us the best chance to win right now? And so just because you're trending better in a certain way doesn't mean you outperform from a holistic standpoint, talking about the spring all the way through training camp.
That is a very tired and tweet-bit somber head coach of the New England Patriots, Gerard Mayo, appearing earlier this morning on the Greg Hill Show as part of Patriots Monday here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. I can't believe I've gone, Mego, in just a couple of weeks from getting behind Gerard Mayo, being excited about his tenure, his reign, if you will, the Gerard Mayo era, to now sympathizing with the man. He sounds as beat down. Granted, again, it was an overnight flight back from the Bay Area after an absolute ass-whooping of, in a game against the 49ers. But I don't believe him. I don't. I really don't. I feel like this man is now carrying the agenda. I feel like he is speaking. He sounds like a press secretary for a president or someone else's agenda or another government agency that is pulling the strings and calling the plays. And I feel like right now, in addition to trying to be the head coach of the New England Patriots, he's the chief press secretary. And, like he's in charge of all the doublespeak to try to convince us that Jacoby Brissett gives the team the best chance to win. I'd like to ask you, how is it that you think Jacoby Brissett gives this team the best chance to win?
Okay, wait, before we get to that, remember when we used to have normal presidencies, like at least somewhat within the realms, and I don't want to get political here, but you'd have like presidents who were kind of a normal age and normal disposition for a politician.
Sure.
And you would always see the photos of the beginning of their presidency versus the end of their presidency. And you'd be like, my God, he used to be a young man. Look at him now. Look at what the office did to him. We need to have a photo of Gerard Mayo from his introduction ceremony, his press conference, when he's talking about young Thundercat and everything, to the end of this season. Because I think it's going to look like that. Like, yes, he did have
like
a
red-eye
flight.
Like he stared into the Ark of the Covenant.
Exactly. Yes, he
I
did
have a... I appreciate, you know, Thunder and the organization.
He had a red-eye flight, but at the same time, it's private plane that I believe was recently renovated by the Crafts, so it's not a red-eye flight like you or I take, you know?
And no.
Not scrunched up in coach.
Where we
with,
still stink like bad decisions and everything else
and
we regret from the weekend in Vegas.
Some next to you, you know?
You're going to have to visit him at a bar for the next interview. So how'd the game go? Why does it matter?
Well, we actually had somebody called the show last night and said, I don't want to get political either, and this was on the Six Rings postgame show, but we had a caller who said, listen, I don't want to get political, but there was a time leading up to and then following the debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden where the Democratic Party just kept saying, like, no, this is our guy. This is our guy. He's like, no, he did great. Yeah, he was just tired. It's okay.
He had
like,
a cold. He had a cold.
Yeah, he had a cold. He just got caught off guard. It's like he wasn't prepared. And then so basically the caller said he was their guy until it reached an untenable point, and then he couldn't be their guy anymore. And then they just literally yanked him from the ticket, yanked him from the platform and pedestal.
So they're going to Biden Jacoby Brissett.
It's exactly what's going to happen until he's either beaten into oblivion or he just plain gets Bidened. And I can't not see that happening. Pardon the double negative. Like I kind of bought into it. Like they're going to just keep saying Jacoby Brissett's their guy until 43,000 people are announced at Gillette or until they see some other sort of ratings or numbers. And then whoever behind the scenes as part of this Pat's Illuminati is orchestrating the plan.
Who plays Kamala? Mike Vrabel?
Wow. I wasn't expecting that so early in the program, Joe. But you know what? Go for it. Just go for it.
Just saying it before someone calls in and says, hey, Mike Vrabel, kid. Get Mike Vrabel in here.
But you see what I'm saying, Mego? Like, he's going to be the guy until he's not the guy. But I just don't understand. Like, the rest of us are all out here right now watching, saying, but we've seen what he can do. He's not the guy. And you're also going to get the guy killed.
I think what the tough component here that a lot of people aren't talking about is we know who Jacoby Brissett is. Mm-hmm. We in the media at this point don't really know who Drake May is showing himself to be because we don't have access to those times at practice. We basically get to see them warm up, stretch, play, you know, throw the ball around a little bit in some simple drills, but we don't get to see if he's totally out of rhythm, if his footwork has regressed, if he is able to go through and see what the defense is showing. We don't get to see any of that, let alone what he's doing on scout team. And so everybody is focused on, well, the offensive line's not going to get any better. And the offensive line's such a mess, and he doesn't have any weapons to throw to, and blah, 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 and none of that's going to improve. We also don't know who Drake is behind the scenes right now. And I would say all indications up until this week have been that he's been pretty fantastic because they threw him into garbage time in that Jets game, which is part of the process of getting him ready to start. It's a meaningless game at that point in Thursday Night Football. You were getting crushed. And you put him out there to prove that he can protect himself in that situation for several series and that he can get his feet wet in a real game time experience. What I don't understand is why they didn't do that yesterday. I thought that was a real missed opportunity, and I wrote about it for WEEI.com, but it made me think, like, do they feel like the volume is too loud on the Drake May stuff already when October just starts tomorrow? Because otherwise, that's kind of part of the plan that I think that they would have is Drake's not going to start until mid-season at least. But when we're getting blown out, throw Drake in there and he can have cleanup duty and we'll see how he does there in a real game scenario. We'll collect that data on him.
Yeah, while I would love to continue to expand the sample size of the data, considering just how unbelievably overmatched DeMontre Jacobs was yesterday against Nick Bosa, yesterday, even more so, it may have been criminal negligence to put Drake May
right,
in at the end of that
Fitzy,
game.
Right, but Fitzy, people don't realize that Caden Wallace, who was playing left tackle against the Jets for all of that Jets game because Vidarian Lowe was injured in the previous game against Seattle.
Attempting to play.
He came out before, or just about as Drake May was going in that Jets game. So to me, the only real difference was David Andrews went out so early in that game yesterday. And maybe David Andrews, like I would be fully convinced that he's the glue that holds whatever is left of that offensive line together. You can totally talk me into that. But I thought it was a little odd because the circumstances were actually not as drastically different than they were when he went into the Jets game. And Gerard Mayo said after the Jets game, well, it was too good of an opportunity not to put Drake in there. You know, you get what I'm saying? Like the consistency or lack thereof is a little weird.
Well, the only thing that's consistent about the messaging that we're getting from the coach, from the VP of player personnel, from the offensive coordinator, actually the only one that's been consistent has been the offensive coordinator, who continues to say, I think the best way for him to learn is by sitting. Otherwise, everybody else feels like they're jazz coaching. They're just making it up as they go. It's just completely improvisational.
Skeet, scat, scat.
It is. It's like the same stuff that we heard from Joe Judge and from Matt Patricia 2 years ago as they were explaining their play calling, as they were learning the offense or trying to figure out how to call an offense during the during the whole process. It's maddening. All right, let's hear from the good people, Megan, of WEEI and Pat's Nation, 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. We go first to Dan in Rhode Island. Good evening, Dan.
Hey, Fitz, how you doing? Hi, Miss Adelaine. Good to hear you again.
Thank you, Dan. Hey,
all right, pal.
Still vertical as always.
Good enough.
I think all the tackles, are they out because of whiplash? People buzzing by them, and their necks are all screwed up.
For real.
But so a couple quick points. Megan, you both actually were kind of going where I'm going with this, but the whole infrastructure of this organization, now I'm not talking about even the roster right now, I'm talking about from the owner to the GM to, I like to call Mayo the Silo King. That's what he is. That's my nickname for him. But he was breaking
might have
down
to use
silos
that.
In August. I got the trademark, Fitz. I'll give it to you.
Okay.
He was breaking down silos. He's going to be passing them out, build your own, by the end of the season. He's just in over his head. And now what I compare May to, his comp for a lot of people was Justin Herbert, right? Mm-hmm. Just from a stature standpoint and like skills. I think the way it's going to play out for him too is very similar to the way it did in San Diego. I think May is going to be pretty good, but I think it's going to be in spite of everything that is put in front of him, from the coaching to the roster, all of it. Now, Brandon Staley was a boob, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at least, you know, he had Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler. He had some tools around him. But even though he played
Brandon
well,
Staley
they still went anywhere. They didn't go anywhere. because the whole organization, from the coaching to the front office, they didn't know what the hell they were doing. They were terrible. Now Harbaugh's in there. He's probably going to straighten things out. And I'm praying that if May survives to year three or four, I'm convinced that it's going to be 100% different regime. And I mean from the GM to the coach. They'll all be gone by the time he gets to year three or four. And I think he will have success, but I don't think the Patriots are going to have a good record, even with him playing well, because I just think none of them are good at what they do. I'll give Mayo the credit, I'll give him the doubt because he hasn't been around for a while, but he's just not the right guy for this job. I look at Sam Darnold now, the rebirth of him, and like he's got a good organization around him, and he's got a good structure, good coach. May needs that. He doesn't have it. None of these guys are going to be able to do it for him. I'm convinced of it. And until Kraft decides to pay $10 million to bring in the right person, the big name, whoever that's going to be in 2 or 3 years, this organization is going to be spinning their wheels. And that's whether or not May plays great or not.
Dan and Cranston, it is always wonderful to hear from you. Thank you for giving me allowing me to use Silo King, and that was a terrific call. Thanks very much. Appreciate that, buddy. Mego, so it seems to me, if we start with Dan and Cranston's plan, what we have to do is we have to find the team doctor from the Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, no.
Who incidentally punctured the lung of Tyrod Taylor giving him a painkiller injection and missing.
Has anyone in L.A., any like local reporter, ever followed up on the trail of that doctor? What happened to him?
Where is he?
Is he in private practice somewhere?
Right.
Is he just working at some free clinic? I want to know what happened to that doctor.
Now here's a great follow-up to something that Dan brought up when he said, but when Justin Herbert finally got in, he had Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler around him. Ramondre Stevenson, fumble issues withstanding at the moment, is a very good running back. But as far as who's the Keenan Allen of this team, maybe that's, maybe the store brand Keenan Allen will be Kendrick Bourne when he hopefully comes back for week 5 against the Dolphins.
Maybe.
But as far as... I don't know.
I even think about, so I was thinking today about on the morning show, on the Greg Hill show, that that Mayo said Kendrick is ready to come back, essentially. He was like, I've given you this little piece of news.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, great. I think DeMario Douglas is a really underrated receiver overall in the league. He's a crafty little guy. I think Jalen Polk is probably going to be a pretty good receiver. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter when the
scheme... But you're not going to find out.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Can't get to them,
no idea
and the
who
scheme
anybody
doesn't
is.
Function. So Kendrick Bourne is coming back. Do we think that that's going to solve anything? Do we think that they're a Kendrick Bourne away
I was just making
to put
a comp.
Up 24 points?
No, not in the least. And that's my greater point now, is by not putting in Drake May and by continuing with this torpid offense... This plodding, meandering, old-fashioned offense with a quarterback who looks like, he's a 7-foot man trying to get out of an Italian sports car every time he picks his ass up off the ground because he's just getting slaughtered back there. And you got a rotating cast of characters, cast-offs, and waiver wire warriors along the offensive line. You're never going to find... How do I know what Javon Baker may or may not be? How do I know how good DeMario Douglas can be?
Javon Baker will tell you.
he will, and then he won't live up to it. But I would just love to see Drake May out here, with four wide, with Polk and Douglas and Baker and Booty or Bourne or whoever, just slinging it, just running and gunning. Oh, well, he gives us the best chance to win. The winning is gone. Any consideration I have for the Patriots making this a big, fat winning season is gone. That died on the vine last week, and it was laid to rest yesterday.
And Fitzy, it's also part of what they had been talking about previously with Jacoby Brissett, is he gives us the best chance to win because he controls what he can and he doesn't screw up. You know that he's not going to screw up. He's mostly going to make the right decisions. That wasn't the case yesterday. He had that bad pick six. Mm-hmm. He had multiple fumbles and he had another turnover on top of that. I'm sorry to say, I think that the wear and tear is really getting to him. I think you watch it.
When you're a living ad for Dones or Excedrin.
Exactly.
And icy hot.
That's why I do think that it's just completely unsustainable what they're doing with him and what they're doing with the offense overall. And when we talk about, Drake May's probably not going to start against Miami. Is he going to start against, in the following week? Is he going to start after London? At some point, it is going to be something closer to the Chargers situation, except it's not going to be some rogue doctor stabbing Jacoby Brissett in the lung. It's just going to be Jacoby Brissett breaking down and unable to functionally play the position, even at the rate that he's playing it right now.
Let's sneak in one more call before the break. Jeff is in Waltham. Good evening, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, guys. Mego, I hope Killington's doing well. I grew up 20 minutes from Killington, so I hope your puppy's doing well.
Oh, she's doing great. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. I'm an Eagles fan, but Jaden Daniels is my boy. So I'm going to give you your flowers on your Commanders. And I just want to see what the development you see from Jaden Daniels being handed Dan Quinn as his head coach, and at the dumpster fire we thought that franchise could possibly turn into this year. And if Jaden failed, I mean, it's early in the season, but compare that to why not throw Drake in, see what he can do. Can he prove it? And that dink and dunk next week against the Dolphins, they're nothing to write home about. So, you know, kind of compare apples to oranges and see the Jaden Daniels progression. He looks like he command the field. He knows the playbook. And why not give Drake a chance just to see what he can prove? And I know we've beaten it to death, but I do miss you on the afternoon show. Meg Splaining was my favorite ride home, and you're killing it. So I wanted to give you your flowers on your Commanders and Jaden, and I'll let you guys take it from there. But I think the Patriots can win with the dink and dunk against the Dolphins.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, I want
appreciate the call, Jeff.
I definitely want to expand on me as a Washington fan. I've been getting so many questions, and even in my personal life, comparing Jaden Daniels to Drake May. And
they put Jaden Daniels in. How come they don't put in Drake May, right?
Look at what Washington's doing with Jaden Daniels. They are such different situations. I am over the moon about how Jaden Daniels has looked and how fun it is to be a Washington fan again after several decades.
Yeah, he smoked the Cardinals yesterday.
It's super fun. I'm going to get to that. I will say, I don't think that this is as a direct comparison. It's not apples to apples. Like the caller said, it's apples to oranges. These are two different situations for these quarterbacks. And I don't think that you can look at Washington and necessarily say that's a roadmap for what the Patriots can do for the rest of the season or should be doing right now.
We'll expand on that point, plus get to more of your calls and continue the Drake May discussion, plus a little bit on the Patriots defense as well. Are they in need of some reinforcements, or are they just playing exhausted right now? And maybe, just maybe, they happen to play a couple of really good teams that were better on the offensive grade than they were in trying to sustain the score. It's a tough road to hoe for the defense and the entirety of the Patriots and for you Pats fans, but that's why Fitzy and Mego are here for you. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Back in just a couple minutes here on WEEI Evenings.
When I sit here and I watch the game week in and week out, and then I look at, especially at the passing offense, worse than the NFL. And I know you always talk about, hey, it's a competition. When do you get to the point where you say, okay, maybe the guy that we're going with isn't giving us what we need because statistically we're not able to get the job done, that we have to go to whoever the guy is behind him to see if he can give us a spark and maybe change things?
Look, every week, and you know, I do talk about competition, we evaluate things every single week. I think the hard part about it, look, all the fans, you guys in here, media, they want to see a top, you know, the third overall pick play. And I understand the frustration from the fans. I understand the frustration from you guys in here. What we're doing is what we think is best. What I'm doing is what I think is best for the Patriots today and also in the future. And that's how I have to look at these things. You guys look at these things as, you know, on a week-to-week basis. I think there's a combination of multiple things that I have to deal with.
More from Coach Mayo, Wiggy, and the Morning Show crew here on WEEI earlier today. Excuse me. Let me ask you this question, Mego. When do you think there is going to be unilateral media and fan-wide unanimity? When are we all going to get on the same page and agree it's either time to start May or it's not time to start May? Because I believe you and I and many other alike believe, okay, we got this has to happen sooner or later, or like we're already going to lose the season. Nobody is expecting the Patriots to come anywhere near the path, let alone make a playoff push or be relevant in the postseason picture. At best, maybe they can play spoiler a couple times, probably just improving their draft pick, and hopefully you find a couple of helpers and heroes for the years to come. this season can spiral out of interest control real quick. But we think they should play May now. And yet at the same time, you've got yesterday on the Fox broadcast, Greg Olson was like 9 out of 10 times, I would say you got to play him, but you can't play him behind this line. Even Gronk at halftime of the game was like, no, no, play Mayo.
New England Patriot fans out there, I know what you're saying. Put Drake May in. This offense needs a spark. But I'm telling you, it will be the same old story with Drake May in if he replaces Jacoby Brissett.
What was that there, Jacoby Brissett?
I said that last night, and Andy's stop making fun of him.
He played with the guy. He has a problem with
Brissett.
He has a problem with names. He's
a problem with English.
He's never been good with names.
If he replaces Jacoby Brissett.
that was his teammate.
Jacoby, it's like you called him Shane Steichen. It was Shane Spikeman.
Yes.
He myrtleizes names. Like, my dad used to do that, but my dad got a kick out of doing it on purpose.
Okay, so the answer that I have, of course, is I don't really know, and it's tough because right now it feels like the two sides have never been further apart. Like, it feels like the people in I feel that Drake May should not start right now. I still think it's very early in the season. It's very early in his process. I'm really looking at this at a kind of week to week basis. And I definitely don't think he should be out there unless you can at least have Vidarian Lowe healthy enough to be out there playing most of the snaps in the game. He's gotten a really bad rap over the last season and change as being your starting left tackle. But then you see what's behind him and it's significantly worse. So I think I want at least Vidarian Lowe out there at left tackle. And I don't know if that's going to happen this week. I talked to him last week at his locker and he said it's been pretty slow recovery. So.
What's wrong with it? And maybe he just doesn't want to rush back out there because he knows he's going to get brutalized. What's wrong with Lowe again? Is it a knee?
Yeah, he went out at the end of that Seattle game. And so, again, that's one of those things where it's like you don't want to rush him back because, again, it's only going into week 5. I get all of that. Mm-hmm. This is all to say if I had to, make a prediction, if I had to speculate of when everybody, except for maybe our good friend Tommy Curran, because he didn't want them to draft this quarterback in the first place. He thought the team was not good enough. I think, but everybody else sitting down together.
I was there, too, but
okay. But now that we're here, everybody's sitting down together and saying, it just throw the kid in, for heaven's sake. I think it's going to be after Halloween. I think it's going to be after that second Jets game and after the London game. And if he's not starting by then and you're going out to Tennessee and then to Chicago, I don't even think it matters that it's a home game at that point. I think people will look at it and just say, what is the point of this season? We need to see who this kid can be. I do think it'll get to that point where you're going into November and everybody's looking around and going, what the hell do these games mean? Because right now it's not only not fun to watch, but it doesn't really feel like the team's going anywhere as a franchise.
I'll tell you, if I'm flying my ass all the way out to Chicago to go with my son, his best buddy, and that guy, and dad to the Bears game, only to see Brissett versus Caleb Williams, then we riot with deep dish in hand. One more quick call before we get to the top of the hour, Mego. Scott is in New Hampshire. What's up, Scott?
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
All righty. So there's a couple of points I want, and I'll let you guys speak on them. First off, when Tom Brady came in for Drew Bledsoe, the whole team surrounded behind him, backed him, and he produced.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, Drake May is the youngest of four boys. Does he have three older brothers?
That's he does. Correct. It's Gronk family-esque, yes.
Yeah, right. Well, so everybody's worried about him getting hurt. I'm pretty sure he probably got beat up his whole life and has the little brother syndrome and can produce for on the field for the Pats.
Was Nick Bosa in his household?
I just want you guys to say that again.
Was Nick Bosa in his household? I think there's a difference, Scott, between having your older brothers beat up on you and facing a pass rush when you have the worst pass protection in the entire league. I do think there's a difference between those two things. I get what you're saying. I don't think that
I appreciate the call, Scott. Thank you.
Drake May is the same kind of character makeup as some of the previous quarterbacks that we have.
Yeah, having your lunch money stolen, Mego, or having like your brother shove your face down in the couch as he sits on your head and like passes gas on you is one thing. Literally being hit by a 300-pound Spartan warrior wearing armor at full speed is a completely different reality. And I get what Scott is pulling at, but this is a different team. It's a different era. You have way inferior talent to what the 2001 Patriots were on both sides of the ball as well. The same way, Mego, you don't want to hear comps to May can do what Daniels did because they're almost they're as good as each other, and the Pats would have taken May, and thanks a lot, Chad Ryland. And well, okay, anyway, back to my original point. Why can't they put him in? I don't also want to hear, you know, just give May a chance because look what happened. Brady spelled for Bledsoe. So like, May coming in and being a new Brady, taking over for Brissett, has as much to do with Tom Brady filling in for Drew Bledsoe and then becoming the greatest player in franchise, if not NFL history, as Russian has to do with freaking Chinese. Nothing. They're both languages, but that's about it. Nothing. You can't compare the two. Drawing that comp is a waste of everybody's time and completely foolhardy. And this, again, Mego, this is it. There is the lust, the desperate lust in one direction for stars, firepower and something exciting, and then there is the clinging on to the past and trying to draw parallels and comps. Both, sadly, are just going to lead to all of us, well, we appreciate the call, but just kind of spinning our wheels at this point. All right, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. When we come back, one more super long break for Fitzy and Mego before we throw it to Westwood One's coverage of the first of two Monday Night Football games here on Boston Sports Original 93.7 FM WEEI. You are listening to WEEI's official Ballroom Blitz. It is Fitzy. It is Mego. Old friends of broadcasting Saturdays past and years gone by back together again on what we are now referring to as the evening program here on WEEI. I'll be with you on Monday evenings with Mego and Thursday evenings with Shime. Tuesdays and Wednesdays you get KJ and Lions. And on Fridays, you never know. We reach into the old grab.
It's a grab bag.
Exactly. Grab bag. It's we spin the wheel of hosts and we see who it is. Mego, real quick, back to your actually we have one more call clinging on right now. Let's just clean this up. Jared's in Auburn. Jared, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How are you?
Doing good. Just wanted to say I'm not the biggest fan of how Alex Van Pelt is running this offense. So I was looking at other people who could be qualified for offensive coordinators, and Wes Welker has been the wide receivers coach for the San Francisco 49ers for 2 years and then with the Dolphins for since 2020 or 2021. And obviously their wide receivers have been amazing, and they recently promoted him to wide receiver / passing game specialist. I mean, if that doesn't scream to you offensive coordinator worthy, like, I think the Patriots just need Robert Kraft needs to throw a bag at Wes Welker and trade him in for Alex Van Pelt.
I appreciate the call, Jared. He's currently on a 3-year deal with the Miami Dolphins. So what you basically would be doing is two things. One, fan service, like, hey, guys, look, Welker's back. Welker. And number two, you'd be trying to glean a little bit of that Mike McDaniels sort of like newfangled Shanahan coaching tree, contemporary 22nd century offense from Wes Welker, hoping, you know, the same way people try to, you know, pull fruit and coaches from the Shanahan tree and the McVay tree. That's what you'd basically be doing. I don't think that that's anything anybody really wants, but I know as of right now, nobody is enamored with or, you know, startled by the Alex Van Pelt offense, except to say, wow, this is really methodical. But again,
that's kind.
I'm being kind. I was gonna bust out some other SAT words, but this stinks. How about that?
Yeah.
Mego, do you think? Okay, let's say you had a quarterback that was quicker on the release, not someone that AVP had worked with previously, like Jacoby Brissett from 2022. Let's say the line were healthier, everything was working in harmony and at full function and health. Would this offense look that much better? Only just like a little better, a hint better? How much?
Are you asking because of the personnel? Like, yeah, if the personnel was was what they were, but you had something a little bit more functional and the scheme was a little bit more inspired, would it are we blaming the talent level of the roster or how they're drawing it up and executing it? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, go ahead and power rank that.
Okay, so I'm not going to say that the personnel, including Jacoby Brissett, is the top half of talent in the league. We all know what they are. Mm-hmm. At the same time, DeMario Douglas, Hunter Henry, Jalen Polk, hopefully when Kendrick Bourne gets back, Ramondre Stevenson, and even Antonio Gibson, these guys are not being used in the best ways. We've seen all of those guys, except for Antonio Gibson. I've seen him in Washington previously, mm-hmm. but we've seen all these guys reach much higher levels of production. Mm-hmm. And so far, they haven't reached that. And I do look at the offensive coordinator as being the issue there rather than the execution, because I don't even think they have the chance for the execution. And it's not all just the offensive line. And I'm not trying to point fingers and say that it's all Alex Van Pelt's fault. It's not. The talent is not great, but they're not this bad. They're not absolutely this putrid. No. And so it's obviously all a little bit of these different things, but I do think that for as nice of a guy as he is and as competent as he is at a lot of things, maybe there's a reason Alex Van Pelt hasn't been in a situation of doing a lot of play calling before now. And maybe it's also just the system that he was running in Cleveland and previously is not really well suited to the personnel that he is tasked with here in Foxborough.
Do you think that he was the only guy that said yes? I know we've revisited this and we've gone over this time and again. Was he somebody who, in his very deliberate and, well-heeled approach, because he's been around the NFL so long, is somebody they trusted to go with because, well, he'll raise the quarterback right because he played the position and he's been around a bunch of coordinators. So he's a very high-floor, safe approach to the coordinator / QB grooming position. Because it seems to me he wants him to sit.
As far as I know, I get the sense that he is just the best guy who said yes. I don't know if he's the only guy who said yes, but he was the most qualified and best guy to say yes. So they rolled with him. I don't know much else beyond that about, there's the reports and things out there about Nick Cayley and what they offered him and that he didn't want to come back and who knows. But I don't think that they went into this with a bad faith approach of going, well, this is the only guy that we can get, so let's get him. I do think that they believe that he is qualified to run this and to be doing what he's doing. It's just, it's really not successful and it's not inspired so far.
That's it. When we opened the show saying how are we going to make the Patriots fun again? What is going to bring some joy back to the watch, the tailgate, the experience overall? Because this balloon deflated and this balloon deflated rather quickly for the team on the 2024 season. When we say that, there has to be more than just the Drake May fix. Obviously, the Drake May fix is the number one thing as well. But yeah, like you said, these players can't be that putrid. They can't be this incompetent. There has everyone has to be capable of more, and there seems to be something that's holding them back. Now, one side of the ball where we thought people would be capable of much more, but they're not able to actually showcase themselves to the best of their abilities these days, is the defense. Now, you brought that up earlier in the show, and I wanted to get to this before we punch our ticket in a few minutes here. I think the Patriots defense is not so much overrated as they are being asked to carry way too much of this team's water, weight, and time. On top of it all, I know injuries do happen in football, but to lose Bentley, your best tackler, a team captain, middle linebacker, green dot wearer, a couple of games in to the season, sucks. It happens, but it sucks. To not have Barmore, your best defensive player, a complete tone setter, game wrecker, and tempo changer altogether on the defensive line the whole year, sucks. It happens. It's anomalous. It's a little freaky. Thank God it looks like he's going to be okay. But that sucks as well. I think that they're really just not healthy, and they're being asked to do way too much. Are they the 2000 Ravens or the 85 Bears? Hell no. But are they better than advertised? Yes. And now you're getting into a position, where earlier I said people are going to start getting hurt. Now you're going to get guys, I fear, freelancing, trying to do too much. It's like they always say, kid, take an easy swing. We're down 8-1. You can't hit a 7-run home run at the plate. I think that's what's going to start happening with the defense, and they're going to get tired. And Lord fear what may happen if we ever end up with a defense throwing the offense under the bus. Little civil war in that locker room.
Yeah, Fitzy, I think we saw a little bit of the freelancing that you were talking about. In some instances, I would even say, like, I would characterize it as shortcuts. In the Jets game, you saw some really dumb penalties on both sides of the ball, but certainly from the defense with unnecessary roughness and unsportsmanlike conduct. Just these things that when you saw the team take the field against the Bengals in week one, you could at least point at this team and go, well, Jerod Mayo has this team really disciplined and ready to go, and you know that they're not going to get these dumb penalties. They were probably exhausted Thursday night a couple weeks ago, but that's what it looked like in that game. So I agree with you. This is a defense that's injured and that is missing Matthew Judon in the pass rush. I think we can safely see that now. At the same time, it's just really hard to excuse the missed tackles. And it's really hard to look at the depth that the defense has boasted, even with those injuries, and say, well, you know, like Anfernee Jennings has had a decent amount of playing time before this season. I'm not trying to pick on him.
Josh Uche should not be unsetting the edge the way he did.
Uche should not be saying Ole. That should not be happening in that
Josh
game.
Josh Ole!
These are guys who are really experienced. And again, I don't want to pick on anybody there. I think Dietrich Wise has been really good. I think that Peppers has been super physical. Mm-hmm. The defense.
How about my guy Joey Sly?
Yeah, oh, I thought we were talking about the defense. But the defense will be better than this. I fully believe in that. But the lack of execution in the last, certainly in the Jets game and in some parts of yesterday, is not something that I thought that we were going to be talking about, even with Barmore and Judon out, and even with losing Bentley. I just didn't think the execution was going to fall apart like that.
Well, we could unpack this a whole lot longer, and we did have a best of the rest segment that we wanted to run by you guys as well, featuring some nuggets on Jeremy Swayman, what his agent said in response to what Cam Neely said about $64 million earlier today, an update on the Braves and the Mets. But unfortunately, I am tasked with delivering some sad news as we wrap up our first evening program here with your old pals Fitzy and Mego. Baseball legend Pete Rose. This was a day that we lost to Dikembe Mutombo, unfortunately, to brain cancer at the age of 58. Literally a giant legend of the NBA and professional sports in North America for years, and a tremendous human being, as we all were told and saw as well. But unfortunately, Pete Rose, the baseball legend, a controversial figure for many reasons, prohibited from entering the Baseball Hall of Fame, though he's one of the greatest players ever, has passed away at the age of 83.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a real bummer.
Tough day.
It really is. They always go in threes. Kris Kristofferson, Dikembe Mutombo, and Pete Rose. I did not have that on my celebrity passings bingo board, but life comes at you pretty fast, Mego. It's a short ride, and you have to make the most of it while you can. And tonight was a short show, and we made the most of it while we could as well. It was a pleasure being back with you. Braverman, great job as always. Mego, I'll look forward to our next occasion to be together, and keep up the great work at WEEI.com and everywhere that we can hear, see, and read you.
You too. Thanks, Fitzy. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Good night. We'll talk to you soon. It's time for some Monday Night Football.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.